Okay. I wanted to back up a little bit to when you were growing up. Now, was in the first session, was the name of the town was Ulan?
Yeah, I went to school in the idea.
And I was trying to give a Texas town. I was there.
Oh, live in Texas.
But were you far out of the town itself? Were you out in the country away from the town?
Not too far. Well, the first time I was pretty far. You catch a little in derby on high point, as they call it. You catch a little in derby and go to town, something like that. Else you walk that track and go that far. But we moved up in town, the little colored part of town, as they call it. But you still wasn't in town. But you could walk from the colored part down in town. So you didn't have to catch nothing to go there. When they moved from off of this Eastern farm, we moved into a house right across from the school. And that's where I went to school there.
How old were you when you started school?
Let's see, I was... No, because I had to pick cotton, and I think they started the school down in about 7 or 8 or something like that. A little old school.
Would the school say
it? You didn't have no white color there going to school. And then, because I used to think how old was I when I, because when I got this baby, I wasn't but 14. and I was fixing the track for the school, and I kept telling them, I had an old word, a country word about let the boxcar bump in, so they went and told the teacher, about, one principal about it. She's not going to track. And she said, let the boxcar bump us. Okay, you better get somebody and let them, I'm going to let the boxcar bump you. And they went on and told the teacher, and he went across. He was so crazy about me, this old principal was. He was an old man, too, now, and he had a young wife, and she was pregnant with her kids, and she had two nice-looking kids, you know, and Miss Stafford and Mr. Stafford. Stafford was, and he was so crazy about me until he'd go over there. He went over to the house and told my mother, just cross the street, just like going across to that house. Miss Jefferson, something is wrong. I said, you know, whenever you see smoke, you know it's far. Something is wrong with Sammy, that she's not going to. She's saying, telling the girls all that the boxcar bumper and something has done happened. And my mother, you know, she washes my clothes and things. She laying for me when I come in that evening from school. And my husband, and they were playing ball. It's such a big family, those guys, what I married in. And they had a ball team, and all they could play ball. And we would always be the, something like the cheerleaders, be doing the Charleston on the trucks and little dresses made. You know, I'd make all, I used to sew for all the kids at the school when my children was little. Well, when I come back that evening, I got married. And now I would, but when the baby was born, I guess I was about 15 when Jean was born or something like that.
You call her mom? Did she ever talk to you about sex or?
Nobody tell me nothing like that. I used to work in church all the time. I never missed going to church and working in church. And I'd want to go to off the school. See, I wouldn't have got into all that. I told her I'd work my way in school by going to the school working or with another, she was a big girl going to college. And she was saying, if Miss Jefferson let you go now, I can take you and let you work your way in school and everything. You'd be smart, because I was pretty smart, you know. But I had to quit school. And on the count, I had this child, and as a friend, don't they tell me nothing about sex. Tell me all they would tell me. And, okay, you better not go out there and break your leg. Well, I don't know about it. I'm just going to keep from breaking my leg, you know. And what happened to me, you know, it's a girl they called Frankie. And she was, I think Frankie was 20-something years old, 4 or something like that. And she had never, she either had never had a man friend. So that, and this the older girl over me, well, they scared me, you know, telling her, you better do so-and-so. All of them was getting scared. You're going to be just like Frankie. If you don't do this, you're going to be like Frankie and do this. And the first time, I just got messed up right there. Mm-hmm. And I just raised my sand. I said, they laughed about that. Now the girl just passed, though, my friend. And while I was between her and her sister, we all was going to school, and her sister taught school there first for Miss Stafford did. Miss Sarah taught me first. And I used to show them how to dance, and I really wanted to be a dancer, but my grandmother wasn't going to never let me go out. And Raymond Brothers showed, and they had a chorus girl. And one time when we was in the country, when the show would come by, it'd come down a highway, you know, with the elephant and all that kind of stuff. I just show you how you was out in the country. I was about 12 and like that, picking cotton.
What kinds of, growing up, did you, were your aunts more like sisters in terms of, did you play together?
And play and fight.
What kinds of games would you play growing up?
Oh, they never would play. Well, at school, we just got the place, got big enough to play basketball. Then after Jean was born, I went back to school to play basketball. And they stopped the team right there and said, this girl is married and got a baby. And I jumped center all the time, and the girl was named Sammy Shelton, and her name was Sammy Shepard. And he's going to stop the game because I had taken me out, and he sure did hate that because, I used to run and jump over. He called me his little pussycat, making him so ashamed. And come out at school, call me out, and tell her to come out here. I want to jump over this stick. And, somebody to hold a pole on each end, and they raised it so high, and the man told him, all right, girl can't, little short girl can't jump over that stick. He said, what you bet? I bet you she can. What you bet me? And I jumped over the stick and run on back around where the other kids were. I don't know, just rough and tough. And we played softball and stuff like that after.
Did you, in the time you were, it sounds like you were real active in sports and things.
In that little town, but see, when I come back to Dallas, staying with my mother, well, I went to playing ball with the, I think it was the high school girls or something. They have like West Side and East Side and all that playing, you know. And we had, my kids was, I guess it seemed like Charlene was 4 years old, and Brandon, I mean Jean was he was about nearly 6 or something like that, and they'd go to the ballpark and with me and watch me play, and she would dance, and them doctors would give her money and all that stuff, you know, because she danced when she was 7 at this school where I worked. And I just had my granddaughter's picture made, her mother's picture made, and give it to her for her birthday.
What kinds of things, were there chores in the house that you had to do when you were growing up?
No, nothing but just wash dishes and in the house, and pick cotton. Cause my mother would, grandmother would be doing all the cooking.
Mm-hmm. Were there any boys or young boys around where you were in the country?
Or? Yeah, mm-hmm. I was raised up with the husband.
But mm-hmm.
I married the kid's daddy.
He lived in the same house?
Or? No, he didn't live in the same house, no law. That whole family, they lived closer to town. They had their own home and
mm-hmm.
and lot, and it's down in there. I said, what y'all do with the lot? The house done fell down. Mm-hmm. All them kids were just in that house, and the mayor would have to make them go to work, but I was just, I don't know what I was working for, because I don't know nothing my grandfather bought me. He's buying that lady everything to eat, like steaks and things, while we couldn't eat.
Mm.
And my oldest, my aunt, she went out there to the store and got to, and the man told her what all about the grocery bill being so high and we'd be paying for it, but we wouldn't be getting that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she got that grocery bill and he told her who was, where it was, you know, and that lady would come down there and get to, and he'd have a big patch of sweet potatoes and they ready to be dug, and he'd go off every Friday and didn't come back till Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna let y'all eat some sweet potatoes, and Geneva done already dug some of them and put them in the stove and baked them and forgotten left one in there. Oh, I just had such a life in the country. That's why I don't, they holler like, oh, let's go back. I said, honey, I like to visit, but I don't want to see an onion grow, really. Now, I'm telling you, I have just worked so hard, but it seemed like I worked harder here at North America than I ever in my life at any place.
When you were there, you went to school for
in Italy, Texas.
Uh-huh, in the town. Did you were you aware growing up that there were separate parts of town for that there's sort of that you're saying the colored section and the white section?
I mean, oh yeah, you know the parts that you'd have, mm-hmm. the different districts.
Mm-hmm. Did people was there a sort of, were you told when you were growing up that to stay within certain bounds, or did anyone ever talk to you about it, or?
Just like getting on them in the rivers and things, you have to get on the back of them or something like that. All the things I know. Because
mm-hmm.
Mr. Easton, he was crazy about my father and them, you know. So we stayed on that farm till they moved out from there and come up in town, what we called Color Town. And then this was a little color store. But now they build the prettiest brick school there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether white and Mexicans or color go there or not now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice school right in front of where my uncle is.
Mm-hmm. Were there Mexican people living in the town also at that time?
Or? I think so. I think every kind was living in that area.
Mm-hmm. Was there a separate part of town where they were?
I guess so, because I was, after I left there, I was trying to think when I left there with them two babies and come to Dallas. I don't know what about all the people were. All the parts of Italy, because some parts, it was just like most of those white people had farms, you know,
mm-hmm.
all over the place, different farms. This mm-hmm. is Mr. So-and-so's farm, Mr. So-and-so. My uncle used to work for a fella until he's still living.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle is too. I thought he was going to be dead, though. He's only brother that my mother and him have. See, I don't have now, but just... really, family, just five people, that's my aunt, my mother, and my two aunts, and my uncle, and my mother, and my daughter up here in Bowman here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had your first son was born when you were 14?
Yeah, I hadn't made 15 when he was born, but I got the, 9 months apart, mm-hmm. something like that. I think I had a birthday.
Mm-hmm. And before that, you were about 10 or so, you said, when your grandfather had you go out in the fields and...
Oh, yeah, you'd be out in them fields when you was just... they'd take you out there when they could put a coca sack on you, so I don't know really how I did it. But I can remember how I'd be so sleepy and the sun wouldn't be up and it'd be just about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Mom, she would be so sleepy. She'd always get me whooping. I just never did get no whooping because I'd rather go ahead and do what I got to do than to be hollered at and whooped. So I could hear him cutting her on the, taking one of them stalks and cutting at her because she'd be sleeping,
Mm-hmm. This is when your aunt?
Yes, yeah, that's the aunt. Mm-hmm. And they got tired of that, and that's when he run off. But I don't know how old.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, have mercy.
And when you were doing that work, though, you never got the money for the work yourself?
Oh, no. Only little money I would get would be on Saturday if I worked Saturday to 12 or something, pick cotton to 12 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get a little change or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for buying clothes for school, my mother now, that's one thing she would do. She'd send a big box when it's getting close like now for school.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be done sent me my clothes, just nice clothes, because I was wearing cheer and sip holes when other kids couldn't,
Mm-hmm.
And they used to fight the grown people because she's the best dressed girl in this city. Yeah, but her mother's doing this and doing that. That's why she can dress so, because her mama's doing this and doing that. And I'm out there just a picking cotton like a fool. And she just sent me my clothes for that. Now, she sure would do that. But other than that, when she come to see me, and she would be taking sugar and stuff back where she lived in Breckenridge, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where she was working or what she was doing, but her husband, they would fight all the time. And she'd run off and come down there.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't whoop on me, I'd run, jump in the bed and go to kicking, I'd be kicking so hard because I just taken her just like she, my aunts and them, because I hadn't been around her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I'm going to tell my mama, you taking her sugar and stuff back home with you. I don't know what she'd do that for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she was giving my mother. I don't know. But she dressed real. Even her underwear would be carded, pleated, silk satin underwear, cost so much, and he'd just split them up and she'd send them to me because I could sew them, make some out of them for myself,
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept them, and I had a trunk out here to a friend of mine, one of these big men wardrobe trunks, and I left those clothes in that trunk, just left them in there, just to look at them, How much money they used to had to pay for clothes then. They used to have to pay quite a bit of money for shoes and things one while.
Mm-hmm.
In them days. Sure did.
In terms of the things with the money, when you were out working in the field, did the people that you were working for, did they just pay your grandfather directly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's who got the money.
Did you ever have any idea how much
I don't think
paying?
My grandmother got no money from him either.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any idea how much they were paying you for working a day?
No, see, you according to how much cotton you'd be done pick
mm-hmm.
when the week come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we done picked so many bales of cotton by Saturday, maybe, me and my grandfather and the other two aunts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that man did with so much money, but he just dressed and buy this other woman what he wants, big old yellow woman. My mother was just like, grandmother was just like an Indian. She had long plaits, you know, and high cheekbones.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt has a big picture of her.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned that there's Indian blood in your family? Or
yeah.
You ever,
that's why they hardly ever fit glasses on me at the plant. They tell me I'm too high up here.
Mm-hmm.
The glasses don't fit. We just can't fit them on your body, so I just wear them.
Mm-hmm.
And pull them off because I'll be getting cut so bad in there.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandparents ever tell you anything about their parents or about your family before?
Did my parents ever tell me?
Yeah, or your grandparents, either one, ever tell you about the family?
Yeah, they would tell me about when my mother was born, and they got some pictures of her when she was, I don't have them, but Geneva and they have them. Geneva was, I think she was Karen Allie Mae, wasn't born, she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clarence was on one side of her and Geneva, and Eva was on the other side. So she was one, and them old pictures was made on 10. Things then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they really find them pictures. I don't know, I guess Geneva still got them. You was asking about them the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And when she come down, she had such long hair, you know, she'd always want me to comb my hair. And she had way long hair, and you'd take it, and then I'd have to wring it and get back and ball it. You had two balls on her hair. And she's still trying to make it to the hairdresser and get her eyebrows arched and don't want to get no stick or nothing to walk on. She's just too proud to do all that. I said, Lord, honey, you better get something. And she can't go no place without a cab. She get her cab and go over to her sister's house on account of grandfather's laying there. It'd be 7 years in November. And the government pays her to take care of him. And she said, well, that's the reason I didn't want to come out here because something happened to son, because son was so nice to her. And he'd carry us around everywhere. I really miss him when I go to Dallas. But there's nothing I can do about the man. It's just there with a stroke and everything. And this whole side, this leg and this hand lays like this. And you can't use this one in there. If I put him in a chair, he'd love for me to get that or put him in that chair.
That's my aunt's baby sister.
That's her husband, my aunt's husband.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the baby sister of three there. They're in Dallas, Geneva, Eva, and Allie Mae. So Allie Mae's husband is laying there that many years. We was talking about that last night. And this friend passed, that was my mother's friend. She called me and said, how is Miss Joseph doing? I was told she was in a coma now. I don't know. She don't know nobody or nothing. So it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. She's waiting me to send her something right now. You have to help her along with what I get myself.